Hey everyone, we're so glad to have you here tonight. I want to be giving you a word tonight on the whisper of God, the whisper of God. And so I want you to turn to 1 Kings 19, and I want to read verse 11 to 13 in the Living Bible. And of course, this is the story of Elijah. He's on the run after some great supernatural encounters with the Lord. Now he's running from Jezebel. He's got some things he's going through. And so this is an engagement that he had with the Lord. And so I want to read at verse 11. So go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And Elijah stood there. The Lord passed by. And I want you to underline the Lord passed by. It's powerful. And a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Now this is really interesting. I want you to see this today, because I'm going to explain in a moment what this actually means. Okay? And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. The sound of a gentle whisper. Now when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in a scarf. And that had to do with the reference that he had recognized that he was in the presence of God, the raw presence of God, because it was the voice of God. And so he covered his face in value and honor of that holiness of them seeing the face possibly, or the presence of God. So there, and said, so he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Now this is an entrance moment. This is something different. This is a beginning moment for Elijah. Now, I know that Elijah heard the voice of God. I know that. But this is something different that's happening. This is something he needs for where he's going next, for where his new beginning after this challenge with the prophets of Baal and this confrontation with Jezebel. And the voice said, this is the question. Why are you here, Elijah? So I want to tap into the whisper because the world is loud. And there comes a time in our lives when we need to have that intimate pursuit of God. The whisper, it's a gentle voice of intimacy. And it's given to those who seek and need to hear the voice of God. So it's very, very important. Now I want to get back to the scripture and talk about this passed by. This word passed by in the Hebrew is a casual or transition that's happening. So it's transitive. It means in relation to something present. So listen to this. It doesn't mean that God was necessarily in these events, but it does mean that his presence, when his presence shows up, the natural elements submit to him. There's things that happen. He wasn't personally in it, but it was a manifestation of his presence. So he was kind of in it. So, and what's happening here, this is a revelation of the priority of presence. A defining of power and presence in which it carries the most value, okay? This statement, it says, and the Lord was not, is not denoting that God had nothing to do with what was happening. It's referring to the before of a truth. So this happened because God showed up. Before this, God was there. So that's what this was not. He was not in the fire, the wind, the earthquake. He was in the voice. Sometimes what we define as God, what God takes place of and in him, we can make it about what present creates, not what presence is itself. Somebody says again, we can make it about what presence creates, but not what presence is itself. So the wind, the earthquake, and the fire were the response of the nature of his presence. His presence in its purity, though, is through his voice. The purity of God's presence is found in his voice. It also means this word voice means to be loud, to yell, to thunder. But that's not what's happening in this setting. Why? Because verse 12 tells us it was a still, small voice. Now let me talk about that word still means a calm voice of the Father. It means to be astonished by or to get a hold of peace. I don't yell at people when I want to give them peace. I speak kind to them. The word small here means lean. And I love this Hebrew. It means to be crushed with his presence in a good sense. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that all of us, have you ever had somebody really bigger than you put their arms around you and give you this father hug and it's like, whoa? That's what he's talking about here. And the voice here in the Hebrew is the proclamation. It's peace. It's to claim. Now, I really feel like this. I really feel like this intimate voice, this whisper, is kind of God reclaiming maybe some parts of Elijah's life that need to be reclaimed. He's claiming him. He's letting him know. He's giving him the assurance of to Elijah that you're my son. I know you're here. I know you're running. I know you're fearful, but I want you to know that you're my son. It also means to sing. So that's very, very important, okay? Okay, so the reason it translates its sound is because after the fall, I want you to see this. After the fall, it's interesting. I'm going to read this scripture. I want you to catch this. So this encounter is a gentle voice. But listen to Genesis 3 and 8. We're talking about the voice of God. And this I think this is the Amplified or the ESV. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees. The word voice here is lightness. It's a sound. It's to sing. It's lowing. Walking here is the breath of God or the life of God or the spirit of God. So Adam and his wife, I want you to see this. They heard, most translations say they heard the sound, but it's actually the voice. Okay? So this is interesting. The reason it translates sound is because after the fall, the voice of God was not as familiar. Something happened to Adam and Eve. There's something happened that affected their voice. So there are things and voices that can hinder our ability to hear or recognize the clarity of God's voice to us or what that really looks like, right? So it's very important for us to catch this. So this story needed to take place because there's something happening in the heart of Elijah that needs to take place for where he's meant to go next. Now listen to me. There's always a personal shift required in our life before you step into what's required next on your journey. I want to say that again. There's always a personal shift required in our life before we step into what's required next on our journey. So Elijah was incredibly anointed. He was supernaturally gifted. He was a prophet. He spoke to elements. He outran horses. He saw supernatural stuff. This guy was fed from ravens. He saw food increase. He saw God meet his provision and protection. He saw his enemies defeated. And yet he needed something else to happen within him for where he was going with God, for where he was meant to go with God. So I find on the journey that you and I have with God, we always have moments where our hearts need adjustments, where God speaks to us. He needs to speak to us, or he needs to remind us on a different level of who we are. Where he was in his heart, Elijah, at this moment with God, in this moment, I'm talking about the anointed one, the gifted one, the supernatural one, the prophet, the powerhouse of God. I mean, he's running now. He's hiding now. He's fearful now. He wants to die. He's stressed out, feeling like maybe he has nothing left to give, or what God, you know, or maybe God was through with him. Maybe he felt that. Maybe he felt disconnected, or maybe he felt he wasn't hearing God. What happened? I'm glad you asked. Sometimes in our walk with Jesus, we need the hush now or be still moments so we can hear the whisper of God in our life, for our life. So there are several verses that make me think that Elijah's had a heart issue that needed to be dealt with. We read this story and we read what's unfolding in his life. First thing is, he thought he was the only prophet left alive if you go later on in the chapter, when actually I think there was 7,000 other prophets. And then 1 Kings 19:4 declares, he said, "Am I no better than my fathers?" He finds himself in this comparison. Like he didn't want to be like his fathers. And that's great. But you know, he saw himself too as the people's only hope. Right? So there was now maybe a pride issue. Maybe it became about him. But he was obviously having a pity party. Woe is me. I mean, Lord, after all I've done, he's actually dealing maybe with a little bit of a victim mentality issue, just like Jonah dealt with. He was content with where he was, but personally couldn't go any further where his heart was. Let me say that again. He was content where he was, but personally couldn't go any further where his heart was. It's always a heart issue that depends on your and my next level. Let me say it again. It's always a heart issue that depends on your and my next level. So we can get to a place where we care more about what's going on out here, the atmosphere out here, than what's going on in here. in our heart, right? Because the next level depends on the internal more than the external. What happens on the internal actually affects the external. And that's in every area of your life, whether it's spiritual, mental, physical, financial. When our heart doesn't match His heart, we actually get a different view, a picture of what's truly happening and why and where what's happening and why our true and who our true source is. We actually get to a point where we define what encounters with God are meant to look like. And we shape a value system according to that. What we define as quality presence, or what we define as the most intimate experience with God. Where does what's happening in this moment come from? Right? On the outside. I mean, if we come into the service, people are being healed, and we're having a manifestation of supernatural encounter, what's the true source of that? Is it our doing? Is it the worship leader's doing? Is it the pastor's doing? The speaker's doing? The amount of people? Is it just because of our dreams or His? Or how gifted we are? Or the level of anointing we're feeling? I believe from the Father's perspective, the ability to tap into the intimacy of His voice, His whisper, is the key for us to remain in a healthy place within our heart. And I don't know about you, but I hear a lot of voices a lot of times. My question is, can you hear His voice now? What does that look like now? Can you hear the whisper? Oh, sometimes we like the loud stuff, we like the bold stuff, but what about the still small voice of God, that intimate voice? What does that look like? How does that sound, and how important is it? You see, David knew the value of this. In Psalms 46:10, the Passion Translation, he said, "Surrender your anxieties, be still, and realize that I am God." Surrender means to give up completely. That's what surrender means in the Hebrew, to give up completely. It's you choose what possesses you. And that's a big statement. I choose what possesses my time. I choose what possesses the value that I have in life. I choose, you know, what I'm going to put at the highest honor. So there's this realization that comes in the quiet moments with God. This realization that comes in the quiet moments with God. And realization is the state of being. That's what it means. It's achievement, fulfillment, attainment, fruition. It means pleasurable possession. Listen, this was a moment for Elijah that he was experiencing pleasurable possession. Right? Hey, Elijah, I'm your father. And when we find that, the only way we can find that place of being, that place of life, how we're to move is in being. Acts 17:28 tells us, for in Him, say in Him, we live and move and have our being. We can be distracted from in Him to for Him, or because of us, or through us. And it happens. But in here is altogether, it means altogether because of Him. Altogether all of Him. It means in, the word in means He is the origin in this verse in Acts 17:28. That means He's the beginning and the end of it all. He's the cause, He's the central muscle, He is actually the source of it all. So sometimes the world, family, church, friends, life can be so loud that we miss the whisper of His voice. And I believe Elijah needed a heart shift. Why? Because he was about to have a shift in where he was going. And maybe he just needed to hear God at a different perspective, or he wasn't hearing Him correctly. What happens when you no longer hear His or recognize His voice? Or His presence like you used to? I know for me, when I get that place, I have this thing inside makes me want to quit, give up, give in, or disconnect. Right? Or it causes me to take the next step without Him. Why didn't Elijah consult the Father before he ran from Jezebel? Now listen, God wasn't bringing judgment on Elijah or even forsaking him. It was about the intimate whisper of a father to a son. Maybe that was missing from his life. It started out, sometimes we start out, but in the journey we lose sight of the most important things. So in this story, there was a demonstration of the power of God, the wind, the thunder, the earthquake, and the fire, whatever. Yet it says God was not in that in verse 12. In verse 11, it said the Lord passed by. It means to cause, to carry over, or His ways. And the result was all these events. So watch this. In Exodus, I know you've read this, 33 and 18 says, Moses said, show me your glory, kabod, the weightiness or the heavy part of you, God. And here's what God said. I'll show you. I'll show you the heavy part of me. I'll show you the weightiest part of me. He said, I'm going to show you my goodness. Sometimes we want the glory. The root word for glory here is to promote, to prevail, to be rich, right? Because we think that's what it's about, but really it's about his goodness. And the word goodness here in the Hebrew means to be or joy or beauty or better part. We've got to get back to where we want the better part of God. Intimacy is required for the full journey with the Father. Psalms 103:7, this is what he said about Moses. He said, I made known my ways to Moses and my acts to the children of Israel. The ways here word means the plan, the road, the character, or the walk. This is the intimacy in the journey where God shares with you things that are about the future, where God shares to you about where you are, where you're headed. He reveals his true character, how he sees you, how he feels about you. Acts here is the work, the doing, the opportunity, the deeds, the exploits, the effect of the walk when Moses lived in intimacy with him. So Elijah needed to discover a fresh revelation of his real source of strength, who and what it was really about. Not just power, gifting, acts, promise, prophetic. And I love all that. And our church is about the supernatural and all of that. But his character, his features, what makes or distinguished him as God, the intimate expressions of the Father, the personality part of the Father, is always found, I feel like, for me, in the whisper of God. Now, whose ear do you whisper in? If you saw me or another man who was married that you knew sitting with another woman whispering in their ear, what would you think? You would think something intimate's going on here. I don't yell at people to be intimate, right? So the key issue here is never really about strength, but the source. It's not about power or position, but it's about a person. It's not even really about gifts, but it's about the giver. It's about in him, to the one and only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what the scripture says. Be glory in Joel. Be glory, splendor, majesty, might, and dominion, and power and authority, before all time, and now and forever, unto all the ages of eternity. Amen, so be it of him. And I think that's the Amplified. So listen to this. The wind here is a resemblance of presence. It's a resemblance of presence. It's the extension of someone. That's just the breath part. He's saying that he's not in them. Noah was telling me this Sunday when he came to church, he was telling me he was speeding. He got pulled over by a cop. And when he looked at his license, he said, oh, are you Jamie Chan's son? And he said, yes. And the policeman let him go. I wasn't there. But that was the benefit of presence. Right? It's almost like I was. It was like if I would have been sitting in the car, he said, hey, Jamie. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, slow down. But even though I wasn't there presently, there was something that carried that was connected to who Noah was. The earthquake here is commotion. It's rushing, quaking, uproar, shake, move. It's confusion, noise. It's the fear of the Lord. And we have those moments. But sometimes we feel the shake or the move. And sometimes we don't even know what God's doing. And we have that confusion. Lord, is this you? Is it not you? That's when we need to hear the voice of God. The fire is the burning, the flame, or the hot. That's what it means. I love it when I get in the presence of God and it just feels like, wow, this is overwhelming. But it's always a manifestation of presence. And we need those. We need supernatural encounters. I'm not belittling this in any way. It's important to your experience with him. These are signs and they're great. They're needed. But we're not here to follow signs. We're here to follow the Son. And intimacy is a must. Verse 13 was a heart check in 1 Kings for Elijah's heart. He made this statement, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, did God know what Elijah was doing there? Absolutely. But this is usually what happens when we move away from what's really important and get ahead of him. Right? I'll take it from here, Lord. I got this. I know what I'm doing. I don't have to consult. Right? Why? Because it affects our ear. That's what it happens to us. It affects our ear. We hear people, we hear the world, we hear problems and all the stuff that's been sent a lot of times to distort his voice. And his voice carries the most value. Everyone here can hear from God. It's how you got saved. Salvation can't happen without hearing his voice. It is the presence or the Spirit of God that leads men or calls men to repentance. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And it's not a one-time event. That's the thing. It's not a one-time event or a once-in-a-while deal. And I hear people all the time say, you know, I can't hear God. And I think sometimes we need to look at what voice you are hearing that may be distracting you from that voice and eliminate that voice first. What's in your life that's drowning that verse out or drowning him out or drowning this truth out? So the fullness of God is discovered in the intimate voice of the Father, that expression. If I was to yell at you, you wouldn't see that intimate. What's more loving, a whisper? What's more intimate, a whisper or a yell? I don't know if you've got a friend in the family that's hard of hearing. Yeah, I'm sorry, say that a little louder again, right? When we're talking to someone who's not hearing us well, we have a tendency to raise our voice or make sure they're looking at us. You know, with your kids, your spouse, and so on. The point is, with my family, I take the responsibility to be heard with my kids. And I'm not better than Father God is. Why? Because I want them to hear me. I want to hear them. He wants you to hear his voice. He wants to communicate with you. The issue is not our ability to hear God. The issue is literally the other voices we're allowing to speak into our lives that become louder. And sometimes for us that can be shame, fear, lies, fame, lack, lust, greed, power. The authority of God is mostly, listen to me now, the authority of God is mostly in the voice of God. The authority of God. The authority of God is also in its what it produces, but the greater authority is in the voice of God. And let me tell you this, the voice of the devil has no authority. The only way Satan can get authority is for it to be given to him from someone who already has it. He did that to Adam and Eve. He spoke to her until she listened to the wrong voice and then did the exact same thing with Adam. So when you believe the voice of a lie, you empower it. When I listen to the voice of the fire, the Father, when his voice is my focus, that's what takes what's powerless and gives it power. Let me say this again. When I listen to the voice of the Father, when that voice becomes my focus, that's what takes what's powerless and gives it power. It's living aware of the person, not the power. So to be a person that's focused on the voice of God is a sign that you're actually submitted to God. Why? Because you realize you can't do it without hearing his voice. Do we carry the same value in moves, gifts, power, and signs that we carry for his voice? Is it less or more? Because we truly only get to embrace what's really for us when we totally surrender to his voice. Jesus' ability to walk like a man, empowered by God, was his ability to hear and see what the Father was saying and doing. It's the ways of the Father, not just the acts. The exact same thing Moses experienced. He said, I only say what I hear the Father say, and I do what I see the Father do. John 12:49, John 5:19, John 14:10. So what did the sonship that Jesus set as an example for us look like? Everyone Jesus prayed for got healed, got delivered, got touch. That's what Jesus meant when he said in John 5:19 and John 6:35, I come to do the will of my Father, not my own will. It's the way of God, not just the acts. It's the way of God, not just the acts. It's the intimate voice. It's hearing and seeing the Father. It's personal encounter. What was Jesus doing? This is an interesting story. The revelation of our personality with Jesus and who he is for us. There's a story, I love this, in Mark 4, and you can read it. It's very powerful. And it's the time when they were in the storm. And I think sometimes we miss some of the value of what happens in our encounters. we make it about what's out there, but not what's in here. And I think that was happening in the disciples. So in Mark 38, this storm showed up and Jesus said, peace be still. Now there's something about this encounter that I, until I studied this message, overlooked. We get amazed with he calm. Who is this that he can speak to natural elements and calm the storm? And it instantly happened. And they made it about what was happening on the outside. But here's what Jesus said. He said, why do you have such little faith? Why do you have such little trust in me? Here's what he's saying. You've made it about the peace. You've made it about everything else, but it's actually about the person that's in the boat with you. Right? Interesting. It's really interesting. Now, John 10:28, as far as you and I are concerned, here's the key. The sheep that are mine hear my own voice. They're listening to my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. The sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So we truly have to be able to recognize the presence of God and the voice of God. They are two different manifestations of the same thing. You may not hear the voice of God, but feel his peace. He speaks to us in two different ways. And sometimes we hear the voice of God with our heart, not our head. He is the word, so his presence speaks. But it's not always head. Sometimes it's heart. And you have to hear him both ways. What it boils down to is Jude 1:25 says, to the one and only God, our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, splendor, majesty, might and dominion, power and authority, before all time and now and forever unto all ages of eternity. Amen, so be it. Now let me say this about listening to the voice of God. Because sometimes we think what we're hearing is for everybody else and it's for us. So to one person, he can say, don't watch TV. But his friend has five. To one, he says, give everything you have away. And then you have a friend that's opening up a new savings account and buying all kinds of new stuff. What happens is sometimes when we hear the voice of God, we feel what's said to us is for everyone else. Why? Sometimes we like rules. We like laws because they're simple. And they don't require a lot of intimacy, right? Right? But it's not about rules. It's about the intimacy of God's voice to you in the season that you're in. It's his engagement in your life where your heart is in that moment. It does not make you more loved or favored. But sometimes we use rules and laws for everyone else when they may be in a different place in their life than you are with the Father. Because God spoke to me doesn't mean it's for you. The key is you hearing the voice of God and depending not on me to hear the voice of God for you. It's your connection to God. And this is not an excuse, you know, for you not hearing what you need to hear from other people. God sent the fivefold gift to equip you. So truth is truth. We do equip, we do instruct. But that doesn't remove the factor that you personally need to hear the voice of God for your life. So here's the four things Elijah did. Elijah needed a time to hear God. The life, the world, people, circumstances are loud. And sometimes you get so busy. The thing that you give up the most is your time spent with God. Your time to hear the Father's voice. You need to make time to soak, to journal, to discover the Father's voice for you. Secondly, Elijah allowed his former way of hearing and experiencing God to challenge. I'm sure Elijah had experienced God with fire before and you know, rocks breaking and the altar being burned up and supernatural manifestations like he was experiencing here, right? This is one of the issues that has hindered me more in my relationship with God on the journey is I form habits of how I engage with God. I become comfortable. I can even take some of those things and make them religious. Right? And so, or I can depend on somebody else. They're living according to the voice that God is speaking to everyone around them, what they're hearing. You need to make sure that if you're not hearing God in the habit or whatever you want, the process that you're hearing, it's okay to change the process. It's okay to change the process. It's okay to allow the Holy Spirit to take you somewhere else to hear God. Thirdly, Elijah allowed God to really search his heart. Why are you here? Listen, truth sets us free. The thing about hearing God, you need to be real with the Father. Elijah was probably fighting pride, and he needed, this was a humbling moment for him. Wow, I did all this and now I'm this. I don't know what he was feeling. I know what I would feel like inside. It would get me back to saying, Lord, I'm so sorry. I really need you. And the last thing is Elijah received the voice of God. It's not enough just to hear his voice. It's receiving, believing, and obeying. These are three triune keys to love, just like the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, faith, hope, and love. They're triune truths. Receive. To really receive, you begin to believe. And if you really believe, you obey. These are keys to love relationships. I'm going to close with these last two verses. John 14:21. This is the AMP, the Amplified Classic Bible. The person who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who really loves me. Whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. Now watch this. And I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. This whole verse is about intimacy. It's about hearing. It's about seeing. It's about receiving, believing, and obeying. Jude 1, one more time, 125, the Amplified Classic Bible. To the one and only God, our Savior and Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what it's really about. Not us. He loves us, loves to use us. His most important thing with us is the intimate relationship we personally have with him. A big part of that is hearing the voice of God. He says, to him be glory, splendor, majesty, might, and dominion, and power, and authority before all time. And now and forever, unto all ages of eternity. Amen, so be it. I want to challenge you to take time to hear his voice. Let him speak to you differently. Allow him to search your heart, to receive, believe, and obey what he's telling you. The Lord bless you.